Let's pray. Father, we are here gathered in Jesus' precious name for your blessing. I pray that you would indeed speak to our hearts tonight. And Father, we do ask for your comfort and your love and your holiness. Father, that the fear of God and all the good things that are written of in this book would take hold of us tonight. Help us to walk with you. Amen. Chapter 6 of 2 Bringing the Ark up to Jerusalem. And we have gone over the part of this chapter that talks about Uzzah and his death when he touched the Ark of God when he wasn't supposed to. But I want to cover the rest of this chapter. So let's begin at verse 9 and read to the end. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. And so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to every one a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, every one to his house. And David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself." And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. And I will be yet more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight. And of the maidservants which thou hast spoken, of them shall I be had in honor." Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. We won't necessarily cover every single one of these verses that we just read, but I want to look at 2 people that are spoken of here in these verses. One is Obed-Edom, and the other is Michal. In every person's life, depending on where you are, what you do, things may look slightly differently, but there is one thing that's on the inside that is a relationship with God that determines many, 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 many of the outcomes of things of your life, for good or for bad. And I believe there is no doubt here that we see the effects of 2 relationships with God in these 2 people. Obed-Edom loved God. and Michael did not. Whether or not we are going to look at Michael and say she was an unconverted woman, I'm not going to say that about her. But you can be a Christian, born again, living for the Lord with an attitude of self, maybe even anger or irritation at God, and you may be saved because Jesus is merciful, but you will receive absolutely zero blessing in your lives because your lifestyle can't be blessed. So I'm not here tonight to tell you that Michael was not saved. But I am certainly here to tell you that it was her relationship with God that affected this outcome in her life, where the Bible says she had no child to the day of her death. It affected her relationship with God. She got out of the flow of success in life. Now we will also cover, I want to be very careful that you do not ever get to the point that you judge people based on any one particular thing. Because in this story, Obed-Edom was blessed of God and had children. Michael did not have children because she made fun of the things of God. Now, let's just take a couple of different people in the church here, and let's see how we fare. So let's start with me and Nikki. We're blessed of God, right? Because we have children. Okay, now we go to Brandon. He is not. No, wait. No, that is absolutely not the truth. Many people who are not blessed at all have many children. And many people who are highly favored of God do not have children. When God blesses you, He gives you something you need, want, or that's good for you, etc., etc. And it may be different in many different scenarios. Right now, the best thing that God could do to bless Brandon would be to start by giving him a wife, not children. Children right now would not be good for him. But right now, God has not blessed Brandon with a wife, but He's blessed Brandon with many, 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 many other things. And in fact, maybe I shouldn't say this. Brandon's life before God has been one of blessing. He's blessed him with friends and with love and with all the things that a person would want to be a successful person. And Brandon has had many opportunities to have gotten married if he had been interested. Because I happen to know a whole handful of women who were after him. So when we look at this chapter, Obed-Edom was blessed of God and he had children because of it. And Michael had no child as she scorned the things of God. But children is not synonymous with the blessing of God. Children are a blessing of God if God gives them to you. They are always a blessing of God. But just because you do not have them does not mean you are not blessed of God. And some people who get them and make the wrong choices with life, their children end up being the biggest curse that could have ever happened to them. So, what we're talking about tonight is not children, but the blessing of God. Obed-Edom. What did Obed-Edom do? Who was he? He's spoken about a number of times in the books of 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles. He's spoken about a number of times. He was of the Levites. I didn't actually trace his lineage, but he had to have been because it was him and his sons who took major part in the service of God concerning the temple in the days of David. and continuing probably into the days of Solomon. He was, him and his sons and his family were a part of the worship of God. So he was of the Levites. When this strange occurrence happened, that David is bringing the Ark of God up from the house where it had stayed for many years, and he's bringing it up to Jerusalem, and they disobeyed God, and they did not listen to the things that God said about the Ark. And they put it on a cart instead of it being carried by the Levites like it was supposed to. And this man, Uzzah, decided to stabilize it because the oxen were stumbling. And he sins against God in that manner of touching something that was too holy for him. And he dies on the spot. David gets scared and he says, now, if the ark is like this, I can't bring it home. Why was David afraid to bring the ark home, but Obed-Edom opened his doors widely to it? There's the first thing that you want to see. If you are going to find the blessing of God in your life, the very first thing that you need to do is open your door to the Lord. You are not going to get the blessing of God unless you get God. He is going to come in His holiness, with His rules, with His restrictions. He's going to come with His perfection and His knowledge. He's going to come as He is, but He's also going to bring His love and His peace and His and all the goodness that He has. He's going to come as God. And if you want God's blessing, open your door and let the whole thing in, because you're not going to be able to be selective. You can go to God if you want, and you can beg and say, give me this and give me this and give me that, and refuse to listen to Him. And the Bible says that the prayer of the wicked is an abomination. If you are not willing to take the holiness of God, you can't have the blessing of God. Now, we know from reading the story all through these chapters of the life of David that David was very greatly blessed of God. So this story here where David turns aside away from the Ark of God and says, I'm too scared to bring it home, and leaves it behind, this was a fault in David's life, but it was a short fault. He got over it. He realized his fault, and he went back after the Ark 3 months later. He was wrong. It was in this time of great distress when the nation of Israel is upset because someone has just died publicly in front of everybody for touching the Ark of God, that Obed-Edom welcomed the Ark into his home. We don't know anything at all about the story of what he did. We don't know how he kept it, what he did with it, but I can guarantee you one thing he didn't do. He didn't touch it. I am sure that after what happened, he had a holy respect for that ark. And I would be very surprised if he did not. Perhaps he already, as a Levite, knew a lot of the things. Maybe he already knew the law. But I bet you if he didn't, he went and figured it out. And he found out what he was supposed to do. In this chapter, it says, the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now, I want to turn to 1 Chronicles, and I want to read a couple more verses about this Obed-Edom. 1 Chronicles chapter 26. Verse 4 says, moreover, the sons of Obed-Edom were Shemaiah the firstborn, Jehozabed the second, Joah the third, Sachar the fourth, and Nathaniel the fifth, Amiel the sixth, Issachar the seventh, Pulthi the eighth, for God blessed him. This is the testimony of God about Obed-Edom, that he had eight sons. He had eight sons because God blessed him. Now, the ark of God was only with him for 3 months. When did this happen that God blessed him with these eight sons? Did she get pregnant with eight? You know, the blessing of God didn't come on Obed-Edom for 3 months while the ark was in his house, because it wasn't the ark in his house that he got blessed for, but it was the fact that he opened the door to the Lord. And once the Lord comes, he comes to stay. And the blessing of God remained in the house of Obed-Edom. And we are told here that he had eight sons because the Lord blessed him. We're not told how many daughters he had. If I want to take this principle for my own family, I have four more sons to go before I'm blessed. And the one that we've got right now is a girl. Well, at least I'm hoping to be able to buy some cute little dresses. If you go back a few chapters, 1 Chronicles chapter 15 tells you what Obed-Edom did. Verse 24. Just read the last couple of lines. It says, "And Obed-Edom and Jehiah were doorkeepers for the ark." Now, I would like to present this before the theological pastors and teachers of our day and ask them to what importance Obed-Edom had in church history. What did he do? What did he do for the cause of Christ? What did he amount to? What would they tell him to do? I already know what they would tell him to do. He must go to seminary and get educated. But you don't need education to be a doorkeeper. But according to the Bible, doorkeepers get mightily blessed when they open their house to the Lord. So why do we need seminary education as a Christian if all we need for blessing is to open our house up to the Lord? They were doorkeepers. Now, somebody wrote a song. You'll find it in Psalm 84. Somebody wrote a psalm. That I want to read tonight. It doesn't say who wrote the song. It says it's to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Now the sons of Korah were also involved in the service of God. They also took care of the things of the temple. So they would have worked hand in hand with Obed-Edom and his sons, who were doorkeepers. Listen to what they say. "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart is all, and in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. This psalm is almost too good to be true in some of the things, some of the blessed things that it says. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. But who walks uprightly? What is it? What do we need to do to walk uprightly? Here's the start. My soul longeth, yea, fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. You can go through the Bible as a detailed book. You can make a law out of it. You can write down every single thing that you think God says to you and say, I will follow this till the day I die. And you can go on in complete out of the will of God because your heart is not in it. The first thing that you need to be in the will of God is to have a heart for God. Something that loves Him. Something that wants to be in the house of God. Something that wants to be in the presence of God. Sometimes it seems like there's trouble getting somebody to come to church and be in the presence of God and in the presence of God's people for an hour. But this man says, a day in thy courts is better. I would rather have a day in the house of God than 1,000 days anywhere else. It's better than 1,000. I would make the choice, if I could choose 1,000 days for here or 1 day in the house of God, I would choose the day in the house of God because it's better. And then he says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I don't doubt for a moment that this is the kind of a man who was going to find the blessing of God. The blessing of God, like they say in verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will still be praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Verse 7, they go on from strength to strength. Verse 11, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Don't take that verse out of the context of the Bible. God has withheld many good things from his people for a time. There are many things that people have desired of God that he has held back from them for whatever reason that only God knows. Because he's God. Go read the book of Job once and see all the good things that God took away from Job for a time. But the things that God took from Job were with the purpose of giving Job something better in their place, which was the trial of his faith. God will give that to every person that's sitting here. He will give the trial of faith to everyone that is sitting here. But ultimately, over a lifetime, and heading into eternity, ultimately, the full blessing of God is promised to those that walk uprightly. And I think that we have, in our story, in 2 Samuel, the picture of a man who did just that. When the king of Israel was rejecting the ark of God for fear of God, Obed-Edom said, I'll take everything that God has. I don't want the love of God only with no holiness. I want everything. I'll let God into my house just like He is. I'll accept the whole thing. And whatever happened, we don't know the whole story. All we know is the ark ends up there. Whatever happens, the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. To the degree that in 3 months' time, now his wife could not have gotten pregnant and had a baby in 3 months. I suppose she could have. I suppose it's possible if the Lord did it. God can do anything He wants. But I don't think that's what happened. But in 3 months' time, something visible happened in his home. Something extremely visible, so that people were coming to David, and it was told the king David, told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. There was something visible in the family. I don't even know what you could see in 3 months. 3 months isn't enough to get a harvest from a garden. It's not enough. I suppose you could hatch chickens in 3 months. I don't know what really you could do to show the blessing on a family in 3 months' time. But something happened in that family in those 3 months that was visible to the whole world looking at them. God had blessed them. That's a blessing. That's a pretty amazing blessing. And so, in the meanwhile, who knows what's going on in David's heart for those 3 months. But I'm pretty sure some repentance was taking place for his attitude towards God. And now he's ready to listen to God, because God had given very specific and strict instructions about how to care for the ark that they had disobeyed. And so now he says, okay, let's go do it again, but this time we're going to do it right. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And as the ark of God is coming in, they sacrifice to God. And then it says in verse 14, David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. And David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. So, the story now, the ark is coming in, and now David is zealously excited for the God that he loves, because he has now seen the blessing of God. He now is understanding what was wrong, why Uzzah died. And now he is happy and he is dancing. And verse 16 says, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. You know, Michal may have despised David, but she was not despising David as an end when she despised David that day. She was despising the Lord. There had been some years earlier that she had been madly in love with David, wanted to marry him. They had been married. Then through a long train of circumstances, she had been separated from him. Now she was back with him as his wife. But she didn't care about the ark of God. Later on, as we go down the story, David is dishing out food to everybody who's there. And it specifically tells us there were men and women there. Michal had no children. She is a mother of none. And yet she did not accompany her own husband on this trip to bring back the ark of God, because she didn't obviously care anything about it. She stayed home. And when the commotion happens that this major group of people come into the city with the Ark of God. She looks out the window and she sees David, who loves God more than anything else, and she despises him. She makes up a story. Who knows exactly what we do with this story? But she makes up a story. When David returns home to bless his household, it says, "And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself.'" Now the Bible tells us that David was clothed. Whatever exactly it was that she is referring to, some commentaries actually say that she thinks that, some commentaries actually say that she may have been complaining about the fact that he was wearing a linen ephod rather than his kingly robe. And rather than saying he was naked, she was saying he didn't dress up for the occasion. I don't know exactly what was happening. I think more likely she probably saw a little bit of his leg or something when he was dancing, and she wanted to make an issue out of it because she didn't love God. And so instead of going with her husband and joining in the glory of the time that the Ark of God is finally coming back to rest in a tabernacle with the people, instead of being buried in somebody's house, a place where the people of Israel can come again to pray like they used to in the days of Samuel, a place where they can come and they can offer their sacrifices before God. The religion of God is being set back up in her own city in Jerusalem, and she doesn't even go to the celebration. Instead, she picks fault at her husband David. "And David said unto Michal," it was before the Lord, "it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. And I will be yet more vile than thus, and I will be base in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor." I'm sorry, he sounds almost like me in that verse. I don't really understand what he's talking about, and the Bible doesn't really give us any information what he is talking about when he says, "I'll be more vile than thus." Because what he was doing in dancing before the Lord, he wasn't doing anything vile. But I think he must be, in some manner, just referring to her criticism of him and saying, in no way am I ever going to quit this kind of praising of God because I love him way too much. I'm going deeper in. I'm not coming out. But the last verse then, "Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death." There are so many people that hold back from God. So many people hold back from God. And you have absolutely no idea what you are missing when you get out of the flow of the river that God is able to give. There's absolutely no reason at all to hold back anything from God. It's insanity. He owns everything there is. He has the title to the world and to eternity. And if you're ever going to have anything that you're going to be able to call your own, that you're going to be able to call a blessing, it's going to have to come from him. Why would anybody not want God to be their very best friend? Why would you pull back from God? Why would you say no? If God is not the number one thing in your life, if he does not come first in everything, where his wishes come first in all of your choices, and his law comes first in your heart over everything else you could desire, if he doesn't come first, You're pulling yourself out of the flow of the blessing of God. And the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. When blessing comes to the life of a person who has put themselves in God's care, and it comes from the hand of God, it is blessing. It's not going to come as a curse, or a curse mixed with a blessing. It's going to come as a blessing. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your life is. It doesn't make any difference where you just came from. You don't have to have anything. You don't have to know anything. You don't have to be smart. All you need to do is open your door and let God in all the way. Completely surrendered, open door relationship with God, where he can say anything he wants and you're on it. Open your heart. Somehow you can take that dirty heart of yours and you can bring it to the foot of the cross and it can be made new. And you can be made into the person, the kind of a person that actually loves the commands of God, whereas right now you might think they're stupid. You can love them. You can get to the point where the only true God and the Creator is your best friend. You're willing to do anything he wants. You love everything he loves. And the moment that anything comes into your path that could be for God, it's the next thing you're on, because it's your life. I think that's who Obed-Edom was. I think that's what he lived for, and that's what he did. And he wound up being a doorkeeper for the house of God. But he was blessed of the Lord. May we all have that blessing. And for now, we'll dismiss.